Amen. Well, God is good.
God bless you, man.
Appreciate you. Amen. There's a reason the seafood tastes better up north than down south. Most people don't know it, but it's the cold waters of the Atlantic that make the meat sweeter. So it is true, but I've gotten some good seafood down here, and it's always good to be back with you guys. I so much appreciate Pastor Stevie because he allows me to come and use the fellowship hall and stay. Really cuts down on hotel costs and things of that nature. So my traveling companion, who's with me tonight, we got on the road January 2nd. We left Maine January 2nd. We get home April 14th. And so we've been traveling about, but we've been here at the fellowship hall since the last Monday of January, and we'll leave this coming Monday and go down to the Wilmington area and stay until the 1st of April. So it's been a good trip. God has been doing some great things. We've been seeing people get saved and healed and delivered and set free. And we're going to be over with Dr. Randy Simmons doing the church that Jesus is building, kind of like a follow-up on Fivefold Ministry Conference. We'll be doing that not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. And then we'll be over with Clyde Haywood the Saturday afterwards, teaching his people. And I think we're doing the same thing there, the church that Jesus is building. So we're looking forward to it. But I just want to take a few moments tonight to just preach the word on how it's turnaround time. I think it's turnaround time for the church. Amen. And if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and go with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. We welcome all of you that are watching online. I want to give you a little bit of a background as to what's happening in this passage of scripture. David, the king, has died. Solomon, his son, has been made king over the nation. But Solomon has an older brother by the name of Adonijah. And the older brother does not like the fact that his younger brother has been made king. So he goes to Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, and asks a favor from her. And ultimately, this request is going to get him killed. But I want you to see what Adonijah said in verse 15. It says, "Then Adonijah said, 'You know that the kingdom was mine, and all of Israel had set their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord.'" The NIV says it this way: things changed. The Message translation says it this way: the whole thing backfired. It was God's doing. The New Living Translation says the tables were turned, and this is the way the Lord wanted it. I'm telling you, folks, it's turnaround time for the church and the saints of God today. Did you know that we serve a God of turnaround? Amen. Zephaniah 3:9 says that God would turn things around for his people. Now listen, I am well aware of the condition of the American church. I am keenly aware that the New England area where I live so lacks the gospel that all six New England states put together, we are the third largest unreached people group in the world, right here in America. I know that the foundations of our nation our moral foundations are being eroded away. I know that the tapestry of the God-designed family is being pulled apart. I know the uphill battle it seems that we're faced with as a church and how it looks like the devil is winning. But folks, I also know how big God is. Amen? And our God is a God of turnaround. It wasn't too long ago that we watched him reverse Roe v. Wade. And I don't think God is done yet. I think we're going to see some more things get turned around. Amen? I don't know about you, but my God turns barrenness into babies. Amen. He turns Red Seas into highways, water into wine, small lunches to become banquets for thousands. He is still the God who heals the lepers and causes the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to speak, the lame to walk, and the people that are broken to be restored. He'll take a sinner and make him into a saint. He'll take a loser and make him into a winner. He'll take a zero and turn him into a hero. Why? Because he's the God of turnaround. Amen? Listen, he'll take addictions and turn it into freedom. He'll take lack and turn it into abundance, sickness and turn it into healing, because our God is a God of turnaround. He'll turn your mourning into dancing and your sorrow into joy. He'll take what the enemy meant for evil and reverse it and turn it around so it works out for your good. Amen? Listen, what you thought was a setback is now a setup for a comeback so God can show up and show off. And I'm declaring to you right now, the Church of Jesus Christ in America is in a season of turnaround, a season where we will see the unusual, we will see the uncommon, and we will see the unordinary. And it's exactly what happened to Solomon. According to tradition, according to politics, according to procedures, according to protocol, Solomon should have never have been king. It should have been Adonijah. He was older. The scripture even tells us that. 1 Kings 2:15, all of Israel had the expectation that Adonijah was going to be the next king, but the God of turnaround stepped in. Things change. Plans backfire. You see that little word there, however? Everybody say however. It's a conjunctive adverb. That one word, however, changed everything. It was supposed to be this way. However, God made it go another way. And I'm telling you, folks, I don't care what situation you're facing in your life. One word from God will change everything. Because you really don't need good looks. Some of you say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You don't really need smarts. You don't need education. You don't need money, fame, or power. You need one word from the God of turnaround. Amen. Come on, that coworker that's been against you at work. You've been there longer. You've got more seniority, right? I'm telling you, they think they're going to get the job. However, God is going to give you the promotion. Amen. Other people more qualified than you, they might have applied for the job. However, God's going to make sure you get the job. That disease might have taken out other family members, but however, you are coming in to health and vitality. Other people might have lost the battle when it comes to depression, but God is bringing you out of that darkness into new light. Amen. Listen, I know that some of you are facing mountains that just seems so insurmountable. You're facing valleys that are so deep. You just, in the natural, you just don't know how it's going to work out. How is it going to happen? How are things going to change? Can I tell you, don't focus on the how. Focus on the however. Because listen, God's about to level some mountains. He's about to exalt some valleys. He's about to take the crooked paths and make them straight in your life. Why? Because it's turnaround time. What might have limited you in your past is not going to limit you anymore. What held you back yesterday is not going to hold you back today. We are in a season of turnaround, and he's going to turn that sickness into health. He's going to turn that loneliness into companionship. He's going to take that child of yours that is off track and get him back on track. He's going to take that poverty and turn it into prosperity. Amen? Let me tell you what. He's not only going to cause people that hated you to now like you, but he's going to reverse the vicious rumors that have been spoken over you. That stumbling block is now going to be a stepping stone to get you to the next level. I'm telling you, when God's ready to turn it around, nothing's going to stop it. Amen? There's not a sickness, not a demon, not a person, not an addiction, not a bondage, not a political party. Nothing will stop the God of turnaround from coming on the scene. And you may say, yeah, but you don't know my situation, or you don't know my boss, or you don't know my president. It doesn't really matter. God knows how to turn the hearts of a king. God knows how to turn the hearts of a father back to his children. God knows how to work things together for our good. Amen? He's the God of turnaround. Even when there's a political agenda against us, God can turn it around so the agenda fails and he prevails. It does not matter what it looks like in the natural, because the supernatural always dismisses the natural. Do you hear me? I said the supernatural always dismisses the natural. And listen, I've watched it happen in my own life. Some of you have met my twins. When they've been here before ministering, they'll be turning 24 years old. They'll be turning this August. And my wife, when she was a few weeks pregnant and we knew that we were having twins, and she had to go see a doctor on a regular basis because with the twins, it's kind of a higher risk. She was on her way to the hospital for the ultrasound appointment, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her. And the Holy Spirit said, there's going to be complications. Don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. Now, my wife, if you know her, she's not a worrier. So if the Holy Spirit is telling her not to worry, she knows it's going to be pretty bad. And folks, it was. We had to, long story short, we had to catch a plane to go all the way to Tampa, Florida to see the leading specialist. And that leading specialist basically said, there's no way your twins will survive. They're going to die. Go home and prepare yourself. There's absolutely no hope. Now, we still had 2 days before our flight was scheduled to go back to Pennsylvania where we were living. Do you think that we took that time to pace the hotel floor and worry and fret? No, we just went ahead and did some vacationing. We were not going to worry. We were going to wait for the God of turnaround to come on the scene. Well, we got back home and things progressed and they didn't get any better. And at times it got even worse. But we stayed worry-free. We believed for God to come on the scene. And folks, He did. The twins, they were born 2 months premature. They were so small that a wedding ring, I don't wear mine anymore because I've lost 99 pounds. So when I say hi, it goes flying. So I got to get a resize. But my wedding ring would literally go up their arm all the way to their shoulder. That's how tiny they were. But they were still born and were healthy and well. And when the doctor who cut the umbilical cord, he said when he cut the cord, he said, there's no way that this cord should be attached to a living baby. These twins are miracles. Folks, I'm telling you, there is nothing impossible with God. When the report was certain death, God turned that situation and said, however, they shall live and not die. Amen? Nothing's impossible with God. It's not a question of how, it's a declaration of however. Hallelujah. And let me tell you what, it's turnaround time in your life. I don't know where some of you are, but some of you may be facing some financial situations in your life, and you've got some things that are looming, whether they be debts or bills or lack of income, whatever it is. I'm just here to tell you God's not in a recession. Amen? God's not broke, right? He's not hurting for cash. A few years ago in our ministry, we were going through a real lean time financially. I'm not really sure exactly why we were doing what we were supposed to be doing, but for some reason, the giving from churches was not that great. I had now gone 3 months with no paycheck from the ministry. We were surviving on my wife's small retail worker paycheck. It wasn't a whole lot. She only worked a couple days. And we were at the place where we were putting everything on the credit card. You ever been there? Just putting things on the credit card to survive. And the devil was just screaming in my ear, stop traveling, quit the ministry, go get yourself a full-time job. But that's not what God spoke to me to do. Now listen, we were faithful to God. We were so faithful and we stood in faith believing that the God of turnaround was going to come on the scene. So we figured if God's going to show up, we might as well go ahead and test Him. We would write out tithe checks on pay we had not yet gotten. That was an act of faith for us. We're going to go ahead and pay our tithe because we know it's coming by faith. Amen. So we're 3 months without a paycheck. It's getting pretty bad. And it's right in the month of June. And usually every June I go from Maine down to the Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia area and stay with my dad for about a month and do ministry in that area. And I was about ready to leave on my trip. And I said to my wife, there's enough money on this last credit card to get me down there and be down there for a month. And after that, we're going to have a miracle. The God of turnaround is going to have to come on the scene. Something will have to happen. And so we did. We went on the trip. And while I was down in Pennsylvania, a friend of mine from high school asked, hey, while you're in the area, can we get together for lunch? I said, sure. Now listen, my friend had said to me at the lunch table, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I'm supposed to sow a financial blessing into your ministry and into your personal life. Now folks, we were not on Facebook advertising to everybody that we had not gotten paid for 3 months. We weren't telling people about it. We were just standing in faith, believing God. And let me tell you what, the God of turnaround came on the scene. She gave me a check for the ministry for $5,000, and then she gave me a check personal for over $12,000. So when the devil says, I'm going to stop the man of God and strangle his finances so he quits doing what he's doing, God slapped the great big however on it and said, no way, and he turned things around. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, it's turnaround time. Folks, I'm telling you, all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. God is not going to fail you. God is fighting for you. You may be in a mess, but He'll make it into a message. You may be in a trial, but He's going to make it into a triumph. Why? He is the God of turnaround. Amen? Let me tell you what, He'll turn your stressing into blessing. He'll turn your captivation into liberation. Amen. He'll restore the broken things and He will repair the breach because nothing is impossible with God. I want to close with this final scripture, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6:12 says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Through faith and patience, we receive the promises of God. Through what? Faith and patience. Folks, this tells me two things. One, we must be a people of faith. We've got to stand in faith, walk in faith, live by faith, speak faith, pray faith. Your faith needs to be dumb to doubt. It needs to be deaf to discouragement. It needs to be blind to impossibilities. And it needs to be numb to circumstances. Because I'll tell you what, if you don't stand in faith, you will sink in fear every time. And let me tell you this, fear that is tolerated is faith that is contaminated. So you got to exercise your faith. You got to believe the word, know the word, declare the word, hold fast to the word. You don't doubt and you don't waver. It's not, I know so today and well, I hope so tomorrow. No, it is consistent. God's word is true. He will not lie. If He said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. But we can't just be a person of faith only. We have to also have what? Patience. Now listen, I understand that most times when we think of patience, we think of it as something negative, kind of like going to the DMV. How many know the DMV is like the seventh circle of hell? But let me tell you what, there are actually two different Greek words for patience. One Greek word for patience is hupermone, and it means to restfully abide under. And every time the Bible uses the word patience in relation to you and I receiving something from God, He always uses the word hupermone. That means it's supposed to be a pleasant experience. Now, there is a word for patience that means hard, enduring, struggling, suffering. There is that word, right? That Greek word is makrothumio. This is the kind of patience that Paul says we have to have when it comes to relational issues. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, when Paul says, show patience to Sister Bucketmouth, he said, show patience to those who cause frustration. He was saying, you've got to show makrothumio. This is the kind of patience that says, yes, this is hard. This is difficult. I want to slap this person. I want to beat them up, but I must restrain myself and I have to endure this hardship until it passes. That's makrothumio. That's the kind of patience you have to have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. The kind of patience you have to have at the DMV. And the kind of patience you have to have when you're under the discipline of the Lord. But folks, when it comes to you believing God for your healing, believing God for your miracle, believing God for your breakthrough, believing God for your turnaround, it's never makrothumio, it's always hupermone. Somebody ought to shout, because you don't have to endure and suffer waiting for the manifestation of your miracle, waiting for your turnaround. You just get to restfully abide. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatsoever you desire and it shall be given unto you. See, I think some of you are waiting for a turnaround. But you're refusing to stand in faith and patience. Too busy moaning, groaning, whining, complaining. Too busy talking to everybody else about your problem instead of talking to your problem in faith. Now listen, as a traveling minister who's out of the state of Maine, 6 months out of the year I'm on the road traveling. I do a lot of traveling, lots of miles on my vehicle. I can tell you, I don't like the gas prices. And it wasn't too long ago, I really did not like the gas prices. But listen, you're not going to find me at the pump grumbling and murmuring and complaining. Why? Because I don't care how high gas prices go, they can never go higher than my God can supply. So I'm going to exercise my faith at the pump. I'm going to declare what the Word of God says, that He shall meet all of my needs, for He's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Amen? Listen, some of you are missing your miracle, you're hindering your healing, and you're frustrating your faith. Because of the constant flow of negative words that keep coming out your mouth. Do not miss your time of turnaround because you have allowed your emotions to override your faith. Stand in faith. Walk in hupermone, the kind of patience that restfully abides. It's kind of like when you get invited to someone's house for dinner. Have you ever gotten invited to someone's house for dinner and they say, come on over 7 o'clock and we'll eat. So you get there, you know, 7 o'clock, but the wife pops her head out from the kitchen and says, sorry, it's going to be about another 15 minutes yet. Well, what do? Do you stomp around, kick and scream and holler, say, I'm not going to wait here, I'm out of here? No, you just put your blessed assurance on the couch. Grab yourself a glass of sweet tea that they've offered, and you chew the fat and you shoot the breeze until what? The manifestation of what was promised to you shows up. That's hupermone. Come on. You're not pacing around and frantic. No, you are going to what? Stand in faith that what was promised to you is coming. Folks, this is how we receive, how we inherit the promises of God, through faith and abiding in hupermone. And let me tell you what, if we'll have faith and we will stay in hupermone, come on, it's like just sitting out on grandma's porch in the rocking chair enjoying lemonade. It's just that restful abiding. You say, well, that's not how I'm handling it. Well, that's how you need to handle it. Because you're in macrothumia, you're not in hupermone. And you're frustrating yourself because you're not in hupermone. Stand in faith. Walk and abide in the hupermone of God. Amen? And as we stand in faith, and as we walk in patience, that hupermone, what will we do? We will inherit. We will receive what? The promises of God. Folks, I know some of you have received promises from God and it hasn't happened yet. But pretty much every promise of God is conditional. That means God says, if you do this, I will do this, right? Most every promise from God is conditional. But what we've got in our church world today is everybody runs to find a prophet to get a word.
That's right.
Right? We run from this church to this church, from this conference to this conference, go to this man of God, to this woman of God, because I got to get a word. And you've got 15,000 words on your voice memo thing from the phone, but you haven't done a one of them. Because I'll guarantee you, if you let me listen to them, you're going to hear the words if, but, if, but, if, but. They're conditional. And we just want to keep collecting words, but we don't want to do anything to make them come to pass. Well, here's a word for you. Through faith and patience, you will inherit or receive the promises of God. You want your healing? Faith and patience. You want your miracle? Faith and patience. You want your breakthrough? Faith and patience. Don't sit on the pew of life waiting for God to do everything for you. Through faith and patience, we receive, we inherit the promises of God. Would you stand to your feet with me? I believe it's turnaround time. Did you know the word repent, what the word repent means? And now in the Old Testament, the word repent meant to tear your clothes, throw ashes on your head, you know, snot on the carpet, you know, boo-hoo, cry. That was repentance in the Old Testament. That's not repentance in the New Testament. That's why the Bible says godly sorrow, what leads to repentance. So snotting and tearing your clothes and weeping and boohooing and crying, that's going to lead you to repentance. What's repentance? Repentance is a turnaround. It's where you're going in this direction, and all of a sudden you stop and realize that's the wrong way. And you turn around and go the opposite way. This is what Jesus said. He came and he said, repent. Turn around in your thinking. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Now listen, maybe you have repented in your life for your sins and you have received Jesus as a Savior. Cool. Have you repented for not receiving Him as Lord? See, because when He's Lord, it's different than when He's just a Savior. Right? We have a lot of people that want Jesus today as a Savior, but don't want Him as Lord. So what is it in your life that you need to repent of? You need to turn in your thinking. Come on, some of you need to repent for not standing in faith. Come on, you've been walking in fear. If there's one thing that COVID did was it exposed the fear that crept into the Church of America. Tons of fear. Tons of fear. Folks, Jesus is coming not for a fear-filled church, but a faith-filled church. And if we're going to receive anything from God, it's going to take faith. So some of you tonight are going to have to say, God, will you forgive me for walking in fear, for living in fear, and for housing its cousins, anxiety, worry, fret. I've never seen so many Christians today that battle with anxiety. Come on. Never before have we had people that are triggered by a word. Never before do we have to have people have safe spaces. There's way too much fear. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. That's not for us. Fear is a spirit that needs to be cast off. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. So no fear here needs to be your motto in life. No fear. I'm not going to fear the government. I'm not going to fear a pandemic. I'm not going to fear finances. I'm not going to fear sickness. I'm not going to fear the economy. I'm not going to fear joblessness. I'm not going to fear the future. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to decree faith. And maybe you've got the faith thing down, but maybe your issue is the patience part. God, I want your promises and I want it right now. Right now. No, it's that restfully abiding. God, I thank you that you're just working this together for my good. I don't have to worry about it. It was not this past fall. This past fall, I was 6 weeks going from Maine to California and back again. Had a great time and enjoyed it. But it was the fall before that I went just to the Midwest. And I was traveling with James. Some of you remember James Holmgren. Well, he's not traveling with me anymore. He went and got himself married. I'm like, you traded me in. He got the better deal. But he's now with his wife, so he's not traveling with me. But he and I were traveling across the Midwest. And two pastors called me on the same day and said, we're really sorry to do this to you, but we have to cancel you. And it was two Sundays right in a row. One back the same day. One called in the morning, one called in the afternoon. Now, I don't know why, but already on that trip, things were not coming in like they should. And I was 2 months behind in my housing check. I get a weekly pay, but I get a monthly housing done for tax purposes. And I had gone now 2 months, I haven't gotten the housing. I'm 2 months behind. You know, when it kind of takes a little bit to catch up when you get that far behind. But when it was happening, I said to James, he goes, so what are we going to do? I said, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. He goes, aren't you worried about it? I'm like, why should I be worried about it? Well, I don't need to worry about it. God's opened up the door for us to travel. He said he'll supply all my needs. We're going to just stand in faith and we're going to restfully abide. And somewhere, some way, God's going to take care of it. That was our attitude. Now, the Lord did get us a Sunday night service, a Sunday morning. I did not get filled, so we just found a local church and went to it. That night, I got a chance to preach to 300 registered sex offenders. A ministry that has a ministry to registered sex offenders. And they were just, most of them, their life has been turned around and they were serving Jesus and loving Jesus. And I got to preach twice to them in the evening. I stayed for both services. And the next Sunday, we had gotten filled, but they just weren't, There was no offering that first Sunday, and just we're just doing our thing. We're just believing God. We're not pacing the floor. We're not worried. Why? Listen, if God can't take care of this ministry, I'm in the wrong business. Huh? If God can't come through on His word, I should go find another God to serve. Come on. So we just hupermonade. We just patiently, restfully abided. We just waited. We show up to a midweek service, a Wednesday night, at a church in Nebraska. And we go and we preach, we minister the word. And when we're done, pastor gives me a check and says, I think you'll probably be pleased with this. Well, when people have said that to me before, you know, it's just some churches, if they give you $500, they think they've given you the moon. You know what I mean? So I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I'm thinking, well, it might be $1,000. Folks, they gave me a check for $6,000 on a Wednesday midweek. I'm like, let's get these guys scheduled next year, you know. But listen, that $6,000, I was able to get all the back housing, right? The month we were in, got that housing and was able to go ahead and get the bills for the traveling already that was put on the credit card with hotels and everything, get it all paid off and have some left over. Listen, I don't have to live a constant Christian life of worry and fear. And is God going to come through? Because let me tell you what, that fear will short circuit your faith every time. So if you're believing God for turnaround through faith and patience, you'll receive it. Don't worry about the how. People are always asking, how's God going to do it? How is God going to accomplish that? How is God going to get me that? Just get the how out of here. Just get how out and replace it with however. Don't care what it looks like. However, the Lord is working this together for my good. Would you just close your eyes for just a moment? Father, I pray for your people tonight. God, you know each person that's here and those that are watching online, you know exactly what they need. You know if it's a healing. You know if it's a breakthrough. You know if it's a miracle. You know if it's a relationship that needs to be restored. You know if it's wayward children that need to come back. You know if it's a financial breakthrough that they need. You know exactly what it is they need. And God, you have provided for us all things, Peter says, that pertain to life and godliness. You've already given it to us. You have blessed us, Ephesians says, with every spiritual blessing. You have set it up so that we are not lacking, but we have everything that we need. So Lord, will you help your people tonight to identify what it is they need, to then find the promise that is spoken for that need in your word, and that now is a seed, and then to sow that seed, and they do it one or two ways. They pray it or they say it. They pray it or they say it. They sow the seed of your word by either praying it or saying it, and they put it in the ground, and then they water it with your word. They water it with your word. Now they can uproot it with their words of doubt and disbelief, but they water it with your word. And then like a farmer, he sows the seed, he waters the seed, and then he walks away. And he just waits because he knows harvest is coming. Lord, will you help us? Help us in any area where we have been lacking. We rebuke the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. We release the spirit of faith. Corinthians says that that same spirit of faith lives inside of us. God, let that spirit of faith begin to rise up inside your people. And Lord, will you help us to hupermone? Help us to restfully abide as we wait patiently for your promise to come to pass. And God, we will be quick to give you praise for it in advance. When we can't see it, we're still going to thank you for it because you are working all things together for our good. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.